whipped again with pace. It's in! Spurs salvation! Harry Kane leads the party! And they will escape from the bridge with a point! That is one heap of Tottenham joy!
Welcome back to Tottenham Podspur. This season of Podspur is brought to you by Fanatics. Are you in need of some fresh new Spurs merch? Click the link in this episode description to order some new Spurs gear via our Fanatics partner link. And not only will you get the hookup, but a portion of your purchase will help support your favorite Tottenham pod. Available on all of your favorite podcast platforms, you can also interact with the show on Twitter, Instagram, and our Facebook page, along with our website and blog at podspur.com. There will also be a link tree in this episode description with all of those links, so please follow the show, all of the guys, and click that subscribe button to join the conversation and never miss a Podspur. Hey there, and thanks for joining. It's Sunday, September 11th at about 9:30 p.m. Eastern. Before we get started, we certainly need to acknowledge and remember those who made the ultimate sacrifice 21 years ago today as the United States was attacked by terrorists and all those who aided in the recovery efforts. It's certainly a day I'll always remember and one that has changed the way we have lived ever since. And continuing with the somber news, although most of our plays and listens to this podcast are from the U.S., we do have a high number of listeners from across the pond, and we'd like to offer our sincerest condolences on the passing of Queen Elizabeth II. Our good friend off the air, Graham, and the leader of the Spurs Boys chat on WhatsApp, gave us a pretty remarkable stat today that I wanted to make sure we brought on the pod. The Queen was the Queen for 30% of the time that the U.S. has been a country. I just found that mind-blowing. You know, she reigned for 70 years. We think about kind of the longevity of, you know, football or, you know, our lives in a silo and how young our country is. You know, it's just pretty remarkable. Just mind-blowing. I found that very fascinating, along with, you know, however, I don't have it at the top of my head, but the number of sitting presidents she visited, just a remarkable reign. And we just want to, again, give our deepest condolences to those from across the pond who listen. But on Friday, the Premier League issued the following statement following the passing of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. At a meeting this morning, Premier League clubs played tribute to Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II to honor her extraordinary life and contribution to the nation. And as a mark of respect, this weekend's Premier League match round will be postponed, including Monday evening's games. Richard Masters, Premier League chief executive, said, "We and our clubs would like to pay tribute to Her Majesty's long and unwavering service to our country. As our longest serving monarch, she has been an inspiration and leaves behind an incredible legacy and a life of dedication. This is a tremendously sad time for not just the nation, but also for the millions of people around the world who admired her. And we join together with all those in mourning her passing. Further updates regarding Premier League fixtures during the period of mourning will be provided in due course." So although Spurs did not play this weekend, we've got a Champions League match coming up on Tuesday in Portugal versus Sporting, which we'll preview with the Sporting End podcast. And we'll talk some other odds and ends as I'm joined by Dustin and Scott. Let's start in Bowling Green. Dustin, how is everything going, my friend?
Hey, it's great because everyone can hear me in my normal voice, or mostly normal voice this week. No, it's been good. We, wife and I just got back from Northern Kentucky this weekend for some birthday weekend. It was my wife's, both of her aunts had a birthday. Her grandma had a birthday. It was also a good week because on Friday, right before we left, I did get my Richarlison Cry More t-shirt in, and I'm so excited to rock that one this year. So, you know, it's been all good. Next week's slating to be a pretty fun week of high school athletics for me, too. So, you know, good stuff here in Bowling Green.
That's awesome. That's a great shirt. You got over the bug. I have the bug. My oldest brought something home from pre-K. Youngest got it. Wife got it. Now I'm the last on the train. I've been taking meds all day, but now I'm self-medicating with a nice 11% barley wine. Nice and smooth going down. Coats the back of the throat. I love it.
Hey, Scott, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, you got it, man. Scott, you're doing some world traveling, so you've got a lot on your plate coming up.
Yeah, so I've had a busy weekend here preparing. I'm flying out tomorrow to Frankfurt for Auto Mechanica. My company is in the automotive aftermarket, and we do some business in Europe. So I'll be flying from Raleigh to Frankfurt, landing Tuesday morning. I'll be watching the sporting match in a sports bar in Frankfurt with an interesting group of people, I assume. So that'll be a good time. And then from Frankfurt, I'll be in London Friday and Saturday before coming home after that. So busy weekend getting ready and a busy week ahead.
I'm kind of sad for you that you weren't able to time it with the Frankfurt, you know, home match versus Spurs.
Yeah, that would have been crazy.
Right. Or just October in Germany in general. I know it's Munich that, you know, in Bavaria that does the Oktoberfest, but I'm sure you'll get into some good trouble. Are you going to go kit it out?
I can't decide. I was talking to my buddy, and he's like, well, I wouldn't, but you're a big guy, so maybe you could. I was like, you know what? Maybe I won't, because I don't want to have to fight off some Bavarian thugs. So I do have – it's going to be cold. It's going to be in the 50s. So I've got a really nice gray quilted Spurs hoodie from the Spurs shop a few years ago. So it's like Tottenham, but like a little breast logo Tottenham. So
right.
If you wanted to beat my ass, you'd have to look pretty hard. So
subtle Tottenham.
Right. And warm. It's so soft, too. I love it. It's my favorite hoodie.
There you go. I like that. So we're going to next be joined by Sam from the Sporting Endcast, but we'll do that right after this short break. Welcome back to Podspur. I'm joined in this next segment by Sam from the Sporting End podcast. Sam, how's it going, my friend?
I'm not bad. Yeah, thank you very much for having me on. It's a pleasure to sort of talk about what one of the things I love the most. And yeah, hopefully I might educate some of your fans, and I'm sure most of you know quite a bit already. But again, thank you for having me on.
Yeah, we definitely appreciate that. And we have listeners. We're predominantly a stateside podcast. We have listeners from all over. So I'm sure many of our listeners are going to be interested to understand how you, a guy just outside of London, became a Sporting fan.
Yeah, so actually, my dad is Portuguese, and he came to this country, I think, when he was 15 or 16. And that's the team, like the whole family, like you can trace it back to when the club first were formed, that we were all Sporting fans. There's been no sort of change in sort of lineage in that aspect. But yeah, I've been, in all honesty, I didn't really get into football till about, I would say 2008. So that was when I was about 9 or 10. And that's when I really started, like I obviously knew of football and sort of knew like the basics, but actually getting to follow the team and support Sporting, that's when I started to actually follow them and started to watch every game. I tried to watch every game, but sometimes, like in the Portuguese league, they do quite late kickoffs. The latest it can go up to is 9:15 in the UK time, so it does get quite late, finishes sort of around 10:30, 11. So sometimes I do miss a few games, let's say if I'm working or something else comes up. But, you know, I'll try to watch every single game, which is good now because they've got BT Sport, which is a channel in the UK of got licensing to broadcast. I think it's one match or two matches per week, so it makes it a bit easier. But yeah, that's sort of my story on it.
Oh, very nice. I know there's a big connection with Sporting and Spurs fans because of Eric Dyer. And we'll go to Twitter, and our friend Graham at Big White Hart Lane says, it's the Dyer Derby. Tell us some facts about Eric at Sporting. What should we Spurs fans know about the birthing of a Spurs stalwart?
So yeah, Eric Dyer is someone who we respect a lot. When he left, he only left for, I think, about 5 million, which in these days is absolutely changed to most Premier League teams. A fun fact is when he first sort of made his way into the team, the manager at the time, which I believe was Josualdo Ferreira, maybe, we had quite a lot of managers in the time he was there. We were really bad, so we just kept switching out managers, so it's really hard to pinpoint. But if you type in like Eric Dyer Sporting, there's a picture of the manager like pointing his finger at him, basically lambasted him on the pitch and stuff. So we weren't really sure if Eric was going to make it. But, you know, in all fairness, I know he's obviously got English nationality, but he was in Lisbon since he was a young lad, and he speaks the language. And I remember a few years ago when we came to play Chelsea, he was actually with some of the players at the time. He met the president at the time. So he seems to, although obviously he's a Spurs player and I'm sure he's a Spurs fan, he's never forgotten his roots, and I think that's something all Sporting fans love about him. You know, I'm sure with Tottenham as well, with like Gareth Bale and Luka Modric,
sure,
you love it when they sort of go back to their sort of home roots. But yeah, I love Eric Dyer personally, and I think majority of Sporting fans are in the same way. Let's just hope he doesn't, you know, we know about them set pieces, so don't want him to bang on him from top corner from a free kick. But yeah, I'll be glad to see him back, and hopefully he gets a nice ovation at our stadium.
Yeah, I hear that. We're always reminded of Eric Dyer's Portuguese roots whenever we're in European competition, because he counts against us for the quota for European, but not for Premier League. So like, we're always talking about that quota of homegrown players, as we're always up against it. Another Spurs connection that we definitely have to talk about, and we got this one from at Bruno8Fernand1. As a Sporting fan, just make sure to mention Marcus Edwards. So I know you got the two connections there. So how has former Spurs player Marcus Edwards been playing for Sporting lately?
I mean, he's definitely living up to the hype, especially this season. Last season, we had Pablo Sarabia on loan from PSG, so it was really hard for him to get into the team. But even coming off the bench, he showed that glimpse of quality. He scored a few great goals. And even though we were losing 5-0 on aggregate to Man City, when he came on at the Etihad, I was lucky enough to actually be in the stadium. But he was just phenomenal. And I think he's really starting to get the confidence in him. He scored and assisted in the last Champions League game against Frankfurt. Also, the game before that, scored against Estoril, I believe. And he is finally living up to the hype. And I say the word finally because I know Pochettino compared him to Messi, right, I believe.
So, the mini Messi, he called him.
Mini Messi, yeah. And like, I definitely see the similarities. Obviously not comparing the two players.
Sure.
I don't think anyone is comparable to Messi, to be honest. But yeah, he's living up. He's playing as a striker at the moment, which is a bit strange because he's more of a winger. But he seems to be scoring the goal, so something's working. But yeah, I think he's definitely one to watch out for you guys and your defenders. I know Romero's obviously a great centre-back, and you've got players like Perisic. And trust me, we know how good your defenders are. But I think it's going to be difficult for them to stop our front three. Marcus Edwards, especially, you know, he's on form right now. And, you know, anything can happen. But as long as he keeps it up, I think he has a good chance of scoring.
And then we also had from Dave Pereira 86. Will Eric Dier shit talk Marcus Edwards in Portuguese during the match?
Probably, but the thing is, Marcus Edwards actually doesn't know any Portuguese. I believe he was on an actual podcast of the club. Like we're a fan podcast.
Sure.
But he was on a podcast of the club, and he was saying, even though I think he's lived in Portugal for about 5 or 6 years, he still doesn't know like the basic phrases, which I know obviously know how hard it is to learn language, especially at the age of like 22, 23, obviously to learn it. But I don't think he knows many, if at all, Portuguese words. You know, I think that's just can be a personality trait or I don't know. People find it difficult to learn languages. And I think Portuguese and sort of Spanish are quite difficult to learn, especially from if you don't sort of have like that background, like he's coming straight from Enfield, England. So, you know, but yeah, probably in English just because he doesn't speak the language.
No, I get that. We have two kind of similar questions. One from Steph at Lion01, July 1906. Which tactic will Sporting and Tottenham use? Who will be more offensive? And from one of our co-hosts who couldn't make it on, Dustin at Ace Gentile 25, said Sporting has had the vast majority of the ball in most of their games. This is a result of high press. And also, how should we expect out of them to build up in their 3-4-3? So do you think Sporting are to come in and press Spurs and look to get on the ball or look to hit on the counter?
Just before we get on, Steph is actually one of our co-hosts as well.
So oh, there you
shout
go.
Out, shout awesome. Out to Steph.
Thanks, Steph.
But yeah, I think the thing with Sporting in big games is that as much as the tactic works and we do like to control the ball, I've not really seen it against big teams. Like I said, we got absolutely dominated by City last year, and even Ajax, we lost 5-1. This season, we lost to Porto. We didn't have much of the ball. We did have a few chances, actually. But, you know, I just don't... It's difficult to say because I think he always goes in with that to sort of... Ruben Aaron goes in with the same tactic every game. But obviously, it just depends on what the other team are playing. But from what I've seen against the bigger clubs that we've played against, I would assume we'd go to hit on the counter-attack. Whether it works or not is another story. Now, I don't think it will. But I would say if we try and go in the same game plan against Frankfurt, because let's be honest, they won the Europa League last year. And I don't think many people are expecting us to win 3-0, if to win at all. So maybe we could come in with that same tactic. We're playing at home, which is obviously a good advantage for us as well. Could be something that we implement. Hopefully, I want him to want Ruben Amorim to do the same tactic. But if I'm being honest, I think it will be more of the smash and grab counterattack style of play. But what about Tottenham? What would you say?
It's an interesting question because I think we're both trying to look to play the same way with that smash and grab. We're a team that likes to hand off the ball and looks to break on the counter very quickly and really, you know, don't have a player that looks to maintain the ball for long periods of time, you know, in our central midfield. And we often get outrun in the midfield just due to numbers. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I think it'll be interesting to see how your back line deals with the pace of, you know, if it's Richarlison or Kulusevski, Kane and Son, whatever combination of those four start the game up top, you know, and how they do hit on the counter and transition so quickly. I think a key for us could be Pierre Milhoybert and his, you know, recent emergence and how progressive he's been playing. I think he's helped spring a lot of counters, and that's a hot topic debate between Spurs supporters right now. He divides the seas pretty well. But yeah, I think it's going to be who's going to be able to implement that style. Spurs often look very uncomfortable when on the ball for long periods of time. So if Sporting do that, I think it's going to be quite interesting to see how things shake out.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm a big fan of Antonio Conte as well. I think you can, I don't know from a Spurs fan, but from the outside of you looking in, you can see there's already been that sort of culture change and
sure.
and the way they play football. Like even the signings they've made, you know, Kulusevski and either Bentancur on loan last season and like Perisic, like these are big players, right. good players that have come from big teams as well. I'm not saying you wouldn't have got them before, but I think Antonio Conte definitely has that sort of appeal that players want to play under him, and obviously his CV speaks for itself. He's pretty much won everything everywhere. So yeah, I definitely think it's going to be a very difficult game for us. I'm not expecting us to have the same result as Frankfurt, but I don't think there's any reason why we can't play for the win. But yeah, I think it's definitely going to be a difficult game, not just for us, but maybe for you too. But who knows? Obviously, I that's what I hope, but I could be terribly wrong. I said I was actually on a Man City podcast last year. And I said, just as long as we keep it respectable, you know, get 1-0, 2-0, like even if we score, it'll be a good result. And then the day after, we lost 5-0. So, you know, I maybe I'm the curse here, but, you know, hopefully it's not the same result as last year.
No, I definitely hear that. And talking a bit about that Frankfurt match, I ended up watching it this morning in preparation of talking with you. And I saw a lot of stick on social media after the match about how that was a very flattering result for you guys and very harsh on Frankfurt. And the XG was like, 1.0 to 0.9, like very close, and they had your goals very low chances, but they were all quality goals from my opinion. So you know, talk a little bit about that match and what kind of, you know, led to those goals, even though the XG was so low, or if you have any explanation for why that is.
Oh, the explanation is just that happens all the time, especially when we won the league. Now it's two seasons ago. Pedro Gonzalez, who is our sort of right wing but can also play as an eight, his XG was just off the charts, just because like he'd make goals from like outside the box and like you wouldn't expect them to go in. But we usually have quite low XG. But I think it's just, you know, to be completely honest, we're not very good finishers of the ball. And that's just an absolute fact. The shirt behind me is Paulinho, who's our striker, who's my favorite player in more of like a cult hero type of way. He's not the best player, I'll be the first one to admit it, but I just love the way he works hard. And but he's a striker, but not a good finisher, if that makes sense. But,
gotcha.
But looking at the Frankfurt game even, I would agree. The first half, I think, was really poor from both teams, but especially us. They had so many chances to score. And what the thing was that we gave them those chances. A lot of times we gave the ball out from the goalkeeper, from the centre-backs. Even like the first 2 minutes in, our midfielder passes the ball straight, tries to go back to our goalkeeper and lets Frankfurt go in. And luckily the keeper saves it. But there were just so many opportunities that I think Frankfurt fans will look and say, you know, that could cost us, you know, if it's third place, second place, obviously still early, could be even first place.
Sure.
But I think the second half, we just turned it on. It was, I don't know what Amarim said in the team talk, but we flipped the switch. And I think Marcus Edwards especially came out looking more confident. Our midfielders as well. You could argue one of our midfielders, Morita, could have been sent off. He was on a yellow card and literally the first 10 seconds of the second half goes in with a rash tackle, but luckily the referee lets it go. But yeah, I think this is the Sporting I expect. You know, making three goals out of hardly any XG is something that a lot of Sporting fans realise that happens quite a lot. But I think the positive to take away from that is the chances we did have that were just, you know, especially how the goals came. The first two within, what, 2-3 minutes of each other? If that happens in any game, that demoralizes the opponents. Right. If you get two that quickly, then there's almost, obviously, never say never, but there's almost no chance of the other team coming back just because they're so demoralized. And I think that's what happened. And then, obviously, you know, they bring off a holding midfielder for a striker and they try to get one back. And then we hit on the counter-attack with a Nuno Santos goal. But I think it's definitely going to be a different game to what we saw. Obviously, Spurs are much more confident than Frankfurt are. They have a much better, I think, defensive system set up. And, you know, Harry Kane, Son, you mentioned earlier, Richarlison, Kulusevski. Those are four, in my opinion, world-class attackers anyway. and all four of them aren't going to start. So,
right.
You know, even if one comes off the bench, like, you know, it's still going to be difficult for us. And at the moment, actually, we've got quite an injury crisis. Our two centre backs, Saint Just, who just arrived in the summer from Germany, cost 10 million euros. He's injured for the game and won't be back until after the international break. And in the last game, our sort of step-in centre-back, Luis Neto, had a knee sprain. Looks like he won't be playing either. So we're definitely missing key aspects of that defence. Whoever steps in, I'm not sure. I think it will probably be Matheus Reis, Coates and Inacio, which is still a good defence. Then what happens if someone gets a yellow card, someone gets injured? Obviously, these are hypothetical situations, but you know, these things can happen. But yeah, I think it's going to be a difficult game for us to defend, you know, those four attackers.
Right. A lot of variables go in there with injuries and, you know, like you said, the way matches play out. But kind of alluding to your point about the first half and needing the points and, you know, how the group could potentially shape up. One of our other co-hosts, Jeremy at JDM2241, says, at this early point of the group, who needs the result more?
I would say us, only because I think Spurs are the clear favourites, to win this group, even though that's no disrespect to Marseille, even us, or Frankfurt. But the way I'm looking at it is Spurs can drop points here and they can pretty much get them back anywhere they wanted. But with us, like if we lose, it is a chance to go on to a spiral. I watched the game against Marseille, and even though you won that game, Marseille still looked great. And you know, they have some players that sporting fans recognize. Chancellor Mbemba was, I would say, Porto's best centre back last year. And yeah, he knows how to defend us very well. And going into the first two game weeks with 6 points is sort of dreamland for us. I don't think anyone would have expected it. The tough thing with this group, even though I said that I think Spurs are the favourites, you can make a case for any of the teams qualifying, right. I feel. I think they're all so well-rounded. And like you said, the group can come in any order. But for me, if we get these points, then I think we're more confident. We had a very bad start to the season. Drew one game, lost two. One of them was to a newly promoted side called Chaves. We lost 2-0 at home as well. So I think to get the season back on track, I think a win would benefit us here. Whereas I think even if you do lose this game, you know, you're still a great team and you're probably still the favourites to win most of your other games. So for me personally, I think it's us. Well, what about you? Do you have
any different I tend to agree with you, basically everything you said, and you know, from the specific fact that it's at your home stadium. I think, you know, getting those points on home soil would be, you know, much beneficial to the cause and go a long way towards hopefully advancing out of the group for you guys. So the last question that we have, we got it from Paul Rodriguez at Paul J. Rod. Do you guys think the off weekend will be beneficial to Tottenham for rest, or will they possibly come out flat? So obviously with the passing of the Queen, all Premier League games were called off this weekend. Spurs had City. So Spurs did not have a gimme. They had a war on the weekend that was postponed. And how do you think that'll affect this match and, you know, potentially Conte being able to go a little stronger than maybe initially planned?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, if it was any other team at City, I would have said, okay, you know, it's fair enough to get, they would have got the rest and they probably would have won. But like that City game would have been a war, I think. And, you know, obviously never to wish injuries on players, but what happened to us? We got two injuries in the space of two games. You never know what could have happened, right, to any of the players, you know. But I think it's going to be tough as well, because obviously there's the break for international break in 2 weeks, and then the World Cup's not that far away. I think it's less than two, or maybe two and a bit months away. So it's going to be a lot of football to be played between now and then. But I think it is beneficial, definitely. But you could also, I guess, you can make both points that, you know, you get the week in rest, but you don't get that sort of match sharpness that you probably would have gotten. And I can imagine if you beat City as well, you'd be riding onto to a sort of a high.
That's another catch of it, right?
Yeah, of course. And even the flip side of it, if you lose to City, then the players might come unmotivated. But I genuinely don't know. I think it's a 50-50, but I would say maybe just because it was Man City, I'd lean towards it's more beneficial for the Spurs team.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with you there. We also have Christian Romero coming back from injury, has played in the last match, but this just another added rest for him. Getting him back at full strength would be huge for us. So before I get you out of here, Sam, give me your predictions. I know it's always tough to get put on the spot. Feel free to give a head and a heart, whatever works for you.
Yeah, I'll do both. So I think my head is saying I think it's going to be a 1-1, which a result I would definitely take. But my heart is saying a 2-1. I think as much as I think Spurs are a good team, I think we can hopefully get a result because we're at home. I think we definitely have that factor and the advantage. The atmosphere is going to be great as it always is for Sporting in the Champions League nights. But yeah, for me, I'll go 2-1. I'll say probably Kane to score first. And I'll say Marcus Edwards to get one, and maybe Sebastian Coates off a corner to
All
win
right.
the game.
I hear that. I respectfully disagree, respectfully hold my hands, but do definitely appreciate you taking the time to join us on Podspur. Before you get out of here, tell our listeners where they can find you on the socials and how they can listen to your podcast.
Yeah, so our YouTube handle is Sporting160EN. Our Twitter, who is where we tweet our transfer news, game news, injury news. I'd say that's probably the most beneficial place to follow us, at Sporting160_EN. We also have a TikTok account where we post clips from the podcast that are like 2, 3 minutes. If you don't have time to watch the entire podcast, we've got highlights of it for you to listen to, which is also Sporting160_EN. So yeah, those are the main ones, and hopefully we hope to see a lot of you there. And if you do listen to this and you are a Spurs fan, please let us know, and it'll be great to have a chat with you guys sometime.
Yeah, appreciate that a lot. We'll throw those links in this episode description so you can check out Sam's show as well. So thanks again, Sam, for joining us.
No, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
All right, we'll be back right after this short break. Welcome back to Tottenham Hotspur. It was great having Sam in the studio. We talked a lot about the preview of the upcoming match, Spurs in Portugal. I know there have been a large number of Spurs fans, at least that I've seen on Twitter, who have made the trek to Lisbon. So it'll be cool to see how the away support shows up. But let's talk a few things about that match in particular that Sam and I also discussed. Interested to get your opinion on it as well, boys. So let's start with we were supposed to play Man City this weekend. That was canceled due to Her Majesty's passing. Dustin, do you think that this is a good benefit for us, or do you think we'll see some rust from this? How do you interpret this match being postponed leading into a Champions League short week?
I mean, there's a small part of me is like, I wouldn't be surprised if we see a little rust. But all in all honesty, I told you guys both off air earlier this week, and Antonio Conte has been known to do some really, really good things when he's got a full week to prepare. So I think, and I know I don't want to say the word distraction because I feel like that's disrespectful, but like with everything going on over there, I know it would be easy for a lot of our, English players to be, distracted by the, just by current events and what's going on. But I think it'll be good for us. I think we'll be fresh. I mean, we can't underestimate how much of a hard match that Man City match would be. So we're locked in and full ready to go for to make a trip to Portugal. I'm excited about it. I think that can only benefit us.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. Sam and I both use the same word to describe the Man City match as being war. So I think we avoided a war on the weekend. It's also a Tuesday night Champions League match versus a Wednesday. So, it would have been a shorter rest than normal. I could see some rust, but we'll get to our starting 11s in a bit, and I think the rotation or a few changes from the Marseille match might allow us to get some really good fresh legs out there and see how that shapes up. Scott, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I don't want to make this a boring podcast, but I agree with both of you. I don't think there's going to be any rust. If you think about it, it's just another week between games like we would normally have seen. So it's not like we're 2 weeks out. There was no midweek match last week or something. So I think that it'll be a good thing for sure because it'll give, Bissouma, Longley, Spence, like all the new signings more on the training pitch time with Conte because 2 games a week, you're not doing as much, nearly as much training. So getting a few extra days now might actually benefit us later when the fixtures are coming thick and fast. We'll have more reliable options to rotate because they've had more time on the training pitch with Conte. I think long term where this game goes might be tough, but in the immediate, it's better for Lisbon, and I think it's probably better for Leicester and the Arsenal and all the upcoming matches from the training perspective.
Yeah, for sure. So I think the biggest question that we all have outside of the starting 11, Dustin, are we going with that atrocious away kit, or are we going third kit for this one?
I'm going to go third kit because I think – I don't know, just because I hate the away kit. That's just more – nothing more than –
That's a hard overhead answer, isn't it?
It is. I don't really have a good reason.
Did we see them both once each during the preseason?
I don't remember.
Did we see the third?
Did we see the third?
I don't think we've seen the third.
That's the only reason that I'm with you, Dustin. I don't think we've seen the third yet. And I remember, you know, just thinking back to Champions League groups of past, we've played in the third a lot more than the away.
Yeah. I think I can tell you for sure in 17-18, when we had the first year we were back with Nike and we had the solid white home kit, the solid navy away kit, and then we had the purple and yellowish camo-y kind of style third kit. I don't think we only wore the purple away kit on the road in Champions League. Right. And I know the next year we only wore the Spurs Koys on the road in Champions League. We didn't wear the Harry Winks blue kit.
Scott, what do you think?
I
you know, we have to talk about it.
No, I'm not huffing at that. I'm just thinking about the home kit the Sporting's going to wear. It's that green and white.
Yeah, it's very reminiscent of Celtic.
Yeah. It's so I just wonder, are they going to try to use the away kit? Because as ugly as it is, it's not quite as noisy. And that, because that green and white from Lisbon could be, I don't know, from a clashing perspective, I think we'll probably see the home kit, or the away kit, I'm sorry, with the black shorts, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Black shorts and that dog shit top. Yeah, I think we'll probably be, as much as I don't want it to be, it'll be the away kit.
It'll be interesting because the third also has those teal shorts too, so I think it breaks it up a bit. And then I know we've seen in the past different color combinations with shorts and socks in Champions League, so be interesting to see how it all plays out. I know there are a lot of haters of that away kit, so for them, myself included, I wore my third kit for this broadcast to channel the good juju and hopefully bring it in. But that's the first prediction, probably the more important prediction. Dustin, who are you starting? Who is Antonio Conte choosing to start?
You know, I've got the lineup pulled up for when we played Marseille, and I'm not changing the midfield. I like those two. I don't think I'm changing the wingbacks. My issues are the back line. I'm thinking, do we continue to play Lenglet? Do we put Davies back in? My gut tells me we're going to put Davies back in. I don't know why. It just does. I think that'll, you know, it'll give Conte a good comparison of the two left center backs. And then I'm looking up front. It's hard for me to take Richarlison out of the lineup. But it's also really hard for me to take a week's rest at Sonny out of the lineup too, even though we had a really long debate on this. So I'm going to say my only change is going to be Davies for Lenglet.
All right, fair enough.
That's what I'm going to go with.
I'm going to go a little bit different. I'm going to go with we're going to see one change, and it's going to be Kulusevski for Son. I think this is the time to get Son out. I'm also intrigued to see this because Richarlison's more natural position is out on the left, and so I think he kicks out wide to the left and Deki comes on the right. But I think it's time. I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's, you know, Leicester's pretty down. So if we can bring in a nice and rested Sonny for that, hopefully with a reset mind, we can get him going. I still think he plays half an hour or so. I still think he comes around 60, 70 minutes, you know, and does get some time. But I'm giving Son the break on this one. How about you, Scott?
I think we see the same starting 11 that started the season. I think that's the lineup that Conte really wants to use if he doesn't have to rotate.
So that's Ben Davies for you?
Yeah, Ben Davies will be in. Son, Kane, Kulusevski will start. And then I actually think Sessegnon's going to play instead of Perisic. So that's not who I want necessarily. I just think I think Conte's a creature of habit. And this whole thing is giving him the ability to reset. Because remember, Bentancur really only ever came out because of the injury. And then we haven't seen Sess in a little while. And this will be just another excuse for him to keep Son in. We had the break over the weekend. And I'm not saying he's wrong for it. But
sure.
It feels like if he's got a reason to play Son, any reason, he's going to do it. Right. And I think that'll be it. And Kulusevski really, like we talked about before, has kind of been on the bench a little bit lately anyway. So I think he'll get back out there.
So, you know, I don't see my pick at all as slighting Sonny. I just think that, you know, let's give it a chance. And for me, it was Perisic. Just knowing that Leicester is a little down, so like I'll give Cesc the full 90 or close to the full 90 on the weekend. But you know, it'll be interesting because Sporting are a team who played very similar to us. They don't want the ball and they want to whack on the counter. And it's going to be a battle of attrition and who can kind of assert their style and dominance over it. So, interesting lineup. I also wouldn't be surprised if we see more of like a 3-5-2. You know, maybe Sonny comes out and it's Richarlison and Kane up top, and maybe Bissouma gets thrown in there as a game where we might want to take more possession. You know what I mean? So.
Could you see, and like I said, I'm just throwing out, could you see if we play a 3-5-2 where Deki kind of comes in and plays that 10-ish position?
Right. Yeah, I could see Deki or I could see Bissouma joining Bettencourt or PEH in the midfield. If we do see a 3-5-2, which you know, I'd say that's probably, you know, an outlier. I don't think it'll happen, but I very much, you know, think that due to the way they play and the way that we like to play, we could try that. That would just further the hatred I have for not going and getting a player like James Maddison that
Yeah, if we
window, but
that 3-5-2 screams for that creative 10 that
right.
we did not get.
So that I like your point of, you know, Deki sees himself as a natural 10, so why not throw him in there? We touched upon this question a little bit on the last episode, but we did it very quickly, and I kind of want to revisit it as I know a lot of us have either watched that Frankfurt Lisbon match or you know, just watch the extended highlights and the goals per se. But Scott, is this group upside down? Was Marseille the toughest opponent we're going to face in this group?
Man, I don't want to jinx it and answer. I think that,
That's why you get paid the big bucks, my friend.
yeah, right.
That's why I need more than three words to describe you.
You can pick three if you wanted to. I don't know. I don't think Marseille, that Marseille match was tough. I don't know that. I think Marseille away is going to be a big challenge. I don't know that Marseille at home was
They have a
tough
great
as
stadium too,
much.
so that's going to be tough.
Yeah, the Velodrome is no joke, and those fans are crazy as we saw them get arrested after the last match. I think that they didn't threaten us hardly at all, even in the last match, and we didn't play very well.
I got to push back on this one though, because
When did you
we.
think they were going to score a goal or two? I
I
didn't.
mean,
I was bored as hell, but I was never like, oh no, they're about to bang this one in.
that's fair, but I also think had they not gone a man down and they brought on a playmaker, that things very much could have changed. You know, Dimitri Payet is quite long in the tooth nowadays, but had he come on in a full 11 side, I think things could have looked quite differently for 20 to 30 minutes.
Well, I don't think so, because then in that case, we would have the more of a numerical advantage in the midfield. That's kind of the problem. Teams kind of got to
Sure.
choose. Do you want to press us that way and force us back, or do you want to have more attackers out there? So I would have loved to see that, because Payet is a statue at this point. We would have played around him and we probably would have scored some goals. I think that Lisbon's probably got some more, like when they get the ball and they go forward, I think there's more. They're less toothless. I don't want to say they're this super sharp attacking team, but I think they're more likely to generate a chance than anything we saw against Marseille. But with all that said, that would still be me saying the pot three team is a bigger challenge than the pot one team. So
Right.
and to answer the question, kinda, but not completely.
No, I definitely agree with you. You know, like Sam mentioned in the interview with the Sporting End podcast, they struggle to convert chances. They take a lot of shots from outside the box, but they are less than clinical in front of goal. So, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Dustin, how about you?
I'm kind of with Scott on this, you know, kind of. You know, a stat that I've thought of last week when we were talking about this. Do you guys know what Eintracht Frankfurt finished last year in the Bundesliga?
11th.
Yep. Finished 11th. And the only reason they're pot one, like we've talked about, is because they won the Europa League. So they really threw everything into that Europa League. It's like this, it's win it or bust, essentially.
Right.
And so now, not to, that was last year's team, and this is this year's team. It's a different, it's, you know, we're talking about two different teams. But, you know, I definitely think that being said, Eintracht Frankfurt, I don't think, even though they're pot one, I don't think that they're the toughest team in our group. I don't know if it's necessarily upside down, because, like I said, I know a little bit about Marseille because I watched us play them, and I know even less about Sporting, but I definitely think that those are going to be the two teams that push us. I actually had, and when as soon the day of the draw, I went through and made blind predictions for each group, and we can revisit that at some other time. But I actually said we would win the group, and Sporting would actually be the runner-up that would follow us to the knockout round. And I think I had Marseille as my team that drops to the Europa League from our group. So I think us and Sporting are definitely the top two teams.
Yeah, I could definitely see that and probably agree with that. Or flip-flop Marseille. As Scott mentioned, it was boring. I think it was very similar to what we might see from Lisbon with, you know, their lack of a, you know, finishing quality. But I did enjoy watching Marseille press. And, you know, I think that's something that we can all kind of, you know, get on, as we hope the Spurs press looks like that at times. But
yeah,
that's Champions League. The Premier League is in a state of postponements right now. So the City,
the last 2 years.
Yeah, the City match is looking like it's not going to be played until after the World Cup, just due to fixture congestion. January the earliest, first week of May the latest, which would be interesting. And
there's a nice open spot in right at the beginning of April also where we could play a match, because it would be in between it would be in between the quarterfinal and the semifinal rounds of the Champions League. So,
right, but I plan on being there, so I'm going to go with May 1st as my as my hope for when this one gets rescheduled. I think the later the better. I think City are going to do very well in Champions League and advance very far in it. So, if they're dealing with a semifinal,
City plays Dortmund this week in Champions League. I have my eye on that game for sure, because Haaland versus Dortmund, I feel like he's going to want to come out there and prove a point.
So City have the Erling Haaland derby, and we have the Eric Dier derby. All good. It'll be a lot of fun. But, you know, I think that'll be the later the better for that one. Let them get a little bit jammed up. They have a lot of World Cup players as well, so let's see what happens. I'm in no rush to play that one.
Last time we postponed a game till May, it worked out for us. I'm just saying.
Sure did. The other interesting piece of this is Spurs' next Premier League match for next weekend versus Leicester City is talked about either being postponed, or it's supposed to be a home match for Spurs, but talking about being switched to the King Power Stadium for an away match. Scott, do you think that one will get changed out? Do you think it'll get postponed? How do you see this whole situation playing out?
Well, I just read before we started recording, there was a report out of Leicester that there was no chance that they were going to relocate the game. It was some local newspaper, which those are the ones that I trust the most for non-London, non-Manchester type stories. So, I think it just gets postponed, because I'm not going to say anything disrespectful, but the governing bodies of sport and the local authorities have taken every chance they can so far to delay things if possible. So, like, if there's any, like, Conte is going to play Son if he has an opportunity, the UK governing bodies are going to postpone matches if they have the chance. So I just don't see it happening.
Why do you think Leicester wouldn't want that one at home?
I don't know. I mean, when I first heard that, I just assumed for some reason they would say no. But you would think with an entire week to prepare, it's not like Lady Gaga is going to be at the King Power Saturday night or something. So I don't know. It could be that maybe, I don't know. That's a great question. I can't think of anything reasonable, unless Brendan Rodgers wants another week in the job.
Yeah, the barrage is definitely on thin ice over there. Dustin, I know you've got some stats pulled together as far as loan watch. Although Spurs didn't play, we did have quite a few players play this weekend. So take us through I'm glad to hand this back over to you now that silly season is over and I don't have the pressure of delivering on loan watch. So take us through how some of Spurs players did this weekend.
I'll tell you, the loan watch put work on loan watch is a heck of a lot shorter than the work on chasing all my little sparrows, as Lord Varys would say.
I feel like it's more fun too, because you primarily get to look at goals and good things.
Yeah,
bad things, we're not going to talk about it.
Absolutely. So obviously, we don't have any updates on Dane Scarlett or Troy Parrott, because obviously they were off for the weekend. Also, there's no updates on one right now on Sergio Reguilón and Harry Winks. Both are out with an injury. Harry, they're both expected to be back after the international break at the beginning of October. Sergio Reguilon currently is recovering from a hernia, and Harry Winks has an ankle injury that he picked up of like one of his first days of training in Sampdoria. See, Joe Rodon, from a team standpoint, had a very successful week. On the midweek, his team beat, and of course, I just absolutely clicked a button and went off the page. His team won 2-1. It looks like he had a halfway decent match. I know, Matt, we talked about how every time they lose, the Ren fans just absolutely love to slaughter him. But it looks like, from the statistics that I'm pulling back up right now, because they're taking forever reload, he had a decent match. And today they beat, I'm going to go with this French name because I want to give it a try, is Auger. And in that 2-1 win, he had a match rating of only a 6.8, but he did have 3 clearances and 3 recoveries. Played the full 90, and then he followed that up today as Rennes defeated Auger 5-0. Had a better rating, 7.4. Completed 86% of his passes. Had 6 clearances, 2 interceptions, and 5 recoveries. You know, he's played 630 minutes this year for Rennes. You know, his passing statistics are great, 92%. That match rating, though, is 6.87. You kind of see where, Matt, you told us about last week, they freaking hate him over there when they lose, and I think that was a sign of that. We shift grounds to Italy. We talk about Destiny Udoge. Udinese defeated Sassuolo 3-1 today. Udoge played the full 90, completed 81% of his passes, had 4 interceptions, 7 recoveries, had a match rating of 7.4. He's having a really, really nice season, you know. It's really easy to do that, I feel like, on a loan when you know you got bought by a team and they said, hey, just stay there. Don't change anything up. Just stay there. Keep doing your thing and you're all okay. You know, if we talk about the other end of the spectrum of maybe things not going so well in Italy, we've got Tanguy and Ndombele, and it's just, you know, played a half, got yanked, you know, had an XG of 0.04, took 2 shots from middle of nowhere. No one's let him a 6.7 rating. In his – from a statistical standpoint, Tanguy Ndombele has played 4 matches this year and played a grand total of 104 minutes. He's dribbling at a rate of 100%. He's won 11 of his 13 duels, and he's had 3 shots. But like I said, you divide that by 4, that's 26 minutes a match. And Matt and I, we talked about this off air. Scott, I'm gonna let you come in and talk of this. Are we just going to write out Ndombele's contract with him going on loan and we'll just say, hey, thanks for your services, goodbye, when it's all said and done on that contract?
Not by choice.
Yeah. You know, we talk about someone who didn't have a great week in Tanguy Ndombele, but Giovanni Lo Celso, though, is quite the opposite. He's having a very nice spell at Villarreal, which, I mean, he's been there since, what, January? Played full 90 today, had 4 shots, 1 on target, completed 91% of his passing, had an XG of 0.3, won 4.6 of his duels, was successful in his 1 dribble, had a 7.2 match rating on FotMob. You know, in 4 matches this year for Villarreal, he's played 308 minutes, he has a goal, 7 shots, 3 on target, just under 88% of his passing, has an XG of 0.54. He's completed 5 of his 6 dribbles and has an average match rating of 7.38. Now, Giovanni Lo Celso, you know, you take out a Tanguy and Ndombele, it's been a really good loan spell for our main guys this year. They're coming from Spurs to these other clubs. So it's encouraging to see all that stuff.
Thank you for that, Dustin. I know it's fun to keep an eye on. So Parrot and Scarlett are the 2 domestic loans. Outside of Udoge, Scott, do you think any of those other players come back into Tottenham and find a place with the first team?
No, I don't think so. I mean, they'll come back, but not to stay. You know, they'll end up going on loan again, or maybe there's a deal done in the January window for Lo Celso.
If we can only get so lucky, right? Dustin, how about you? Do you think any of those guys come back in?
No, I would say the only one who even has even a fathomable shot of coming back in is maybe Lo Celso, and I still just don't think it's going to happen.
Yep. No, I hear that. So before we wrap this one up, Scott, how did you spend your Spursless weekend? And then cap that off with your prediction for our match on Tuesday versus Sporting.
It was actually an off week for Florida State too. So it was an quiet Saturday for me from a disappointment, anger, you know, passionate perspective. I did quite a bit of gambling on college football. Not quite a bit, but
how'd you make out?
I actually broke even, and then I did the same today. It was one of those days where it was a decent slate of games, but throwing $25 on, you know, Tennessee Pitt over made me want to watch the game. I needed some juice, so so but yeah. And then, like I said, otherwise I was packing for my trip and spending some time with my son. So, but I think we're gonna win Tuesday, probably a 2-1 if I had to pick it. I don't think it'll be as turgid as the first half against Marseille. I think there'll be a few more chances, and at some point we're going to start finishing. So maybe we'll score one on Tuesday.
Yeah, for sure. And if you are across the pond listening to this, Scott's going to be over there on Friday at Coy Seminoles. You can find that in the link tree in this episode description. Follow him, send him a DM, buy him a beer, get him drunk, fuck him up. It is what it is.
Yeah, I'll be in Soho with a friend. Well, a couple of our friends. So yeah, if anybody's in the area, for sure.
Hit them up. Dustin, how did you spend your Spursless weekend, and cap us off with that prediction?
So we went to, like I said earlier, we went to see my wife's family. It was birthday weekend up there. So we spent some time with our nephew, and we went and ran some errands, did watch some college football, got to watch College Game Day, which was cool. It's one of our things. I usually will have either on the iPad or the TV will be Spurs match, and then what's not on the one, or Game Day will be on the opposite device. So something me and my wife look forward to. I'm pretty fortunate. I feel like my wife actually enjoys it, to watch, you know, stuff like that on Saturday just as much with me. So I'm, like I said, I'm pretty fortunate, because I know not everybody has a wife that likes sports like mine does. So we watched Tennessee Pitt, watched Michigan play against Hawaii. Got to see Hawaii play 2 weeks in a row, not by choice, but they played my teams. WKU was off because they played in Hawaii last week, so they got the week off. NFL didn't go so hot today for my team or my wife's team, but that's okay. It was still overall a good weekend. And if we're going to come to Tuesday, match starts at 11:45, which means the match will be on predominantly during my planning, which is great. And I'm super pumped about that. So I'm going to say – I was going to say 2-1, but I'm going to say something different from Scott, because Scott got to go first. I'm going to say 3-1, and I'm going to give you a bonus prediction and say Kane's going to score a brace and Richie will have another one.
Oh, I like that. So my weekend went very well. I made my return to pre-K soccer coaching sidelines. It's an absolute fuck fest. little man is on point. He lit it up. You spend the first half doing skills and drills, and then you play a game in the second half. We won 7-1, and wow. little man had six. So little man's 4.5 years old. He can dribble with both feet, which I find incredible, because I was a shitty keeper at best. But my wife got a really cool video of the first goal of the game. He took it down the full length of the field. He had it on his left and, you know, nicely pushed it to his right and blasted it into the net. Like, it's a high-level skill for a 4.5-year-old. I don't think I could have done it. I think I probably would have fallen over.
I could still not do that.
Right. So I just find it very impressive how he utilizes both feet. And that's just from very little coaching, just, you know, playing in the backyard a lot. So that was very fun. It was hot.
What celebration did he hit afterwards?
He kind of just does the double fist, like down, like arms wide out run. Just very excited. But I got to coach him on that. I got to get a signature celebration there. It was hot as fuck in Rhode Island. It was like 85 already at 9:30 when we started. So I was soaked. It was humid. It was not good. And then, of course, there's a playground at the park, which he wanted to hit up afterwards. And I was just like, from chasing wet cats that are children for, you know, the whole hour and a half before that. But
what Spurs kit did you wear while you were coaching?
No, we have these coaches shirts we have to wear. It's actually a very similar teal to this year's third kit. But, you know, maybe it'll make an appearance on the pod. But outside of that, I made my return to the NFL. I haven't really followed the NFL in a while, and I watched the Patriots get their ass fucking pegged by the Dolphins, which normally happens early on in the season.
Scott, who's your NFL team, which you would claim, or do you really have one?
I don't. Whoever's on my fantasy team or one of my fantasy teams.
Yeah.
Scott team. That's who I care about.
I thought you might be a Panthers fan by proximity. So
no, I've got some sense.
I hear that. I also mentioned on the last pod that I do have an FSU hat. So I told Scott and JR will appreciate this because his girl played soccer at FSU. I'm going to join Knoll Nation this season. I'm going to go all in.
There we go.
I just picked the wrong week to watch, you know, because it was a bye week. But right. I'll be back in action next week.
We got Louisville next Friday night.
And that's going to be the icy white jersey, right?
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
I will be watching that game with my high school soccer coach, who is from Louisville and is a tremendous Louisville fan. So I'll be keeping the shh that the rest of my buddies are FSU fans on the DL, but I'll be silently texting you guys when good stuff happens because I'm not a UofL fan at all, nor am I a University of Kentucky fan. So I'm a weirdo in the state of Kentucky. I don't like either of them.
Let me also say real quick, there are some Panthers fans with sense. I have a very, very, very good friend who has all the sense in the world. So it's not all of you.
All right. But you know, I did decide to join that. I'll join the cause for you guys, and we'll banter about that as we go this week. So this was a fun one. I always love doing episodes with other podcasts of opposing teams. They get a great insight. Really cool to interact with their fans. Their fans were pissed at me because I used a non-legit version of the Sporting logo in the initial question graphic that I threw out, which I told Sam I was grilling while I was doing it. So I was kind of doing it on one hand on Canva, and people were talking to me all about templates and color editing and all that. So as a Zeus, as they say in Portugal, they can go fuck off. I'm going to go with a 2-0 win for Spurs. I just think it's a very tidy performance. I think we get it done. I'd love to see Eric Dier score. That's kind of my heart prediction. I'd love to see that big old blockhead get one off a corner.
Will it be a Thunder Bastard?
I hope it'll be a Thunder Bastard. It could only be a Thunder Bastard if it's an Eric Dier goal. I think that's, you know,
kind that's of the that's the standard for Eric Dier goals now.
Oh, for sure. So if you joined us, you know, because you're a Sporting fan and you saw that, kind of that cross pod we did, thank you for tuning in. You know, we'll hopefully do it again or look at it again beforehand, the next match. So thanks for tuning in, and for our regulars, we love you. Thanks for tuning in. But that about wraps things up for this episode. Thanks for coming back home to Podsbury. We appreciate your support. Again, if you're not already, check out all of our accounts on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Follow each of the guys and check out our blog and website at podspur.com. Just a reminder, you can get quick access to all of those links in one neat location by clicking the link tree in this episode description. If you enjoy the show, please leave us a rating and a review on whichever podcast platform you listen to. 5 stars goes a long way to helping fellow Spurs supporters find the show. Thanks again for tuning in. I've been your host, Matt, for my good friend, Dustin, and Scott. We'll see you next time. And as always, come on, you Spurs.